go rebuild my church, which as you can see is falling into ruins. These are the words spoken to St. Francis of Assisi from an image of Christ on the crucifix at San Damiano in 1205 AD. These same words inspired Peter Doan, the host of the program you're about to hear. Peter challenges all of us to rebuild not the brick and mortars of our church buildings, but our personal faith and relationships that will rebuild and strengthen the church. Now here's today's program.
Hi, I'm Peter Doan.
And I'm Leslie Doan.
And you're listening to the radio broadcast, Go Rebuild My Church. Each week in this broadcast, we explore ways to put into practice the words spoken to St. Francis of Assisi by our Lord Jesus, and how this theme is relevant as we seek to bring renewal to the church today.
Our passion for renewal was ignited when we came home to the Catholic Church 14 years ago, and that's when we heard the call to rebuild, and joined efforts with many other renewal movements within the church.
You can learn more about our journey home and our lay apostolate dedicated to renewal in the Catholic Church by visiting our website at www.catholicdiscipleshipministries.org.
Our prayer is through the ministry of this radio program and our lay apostolate, we can provide pathways for you to join the rebuilding process and experience renewal.
We want to welcome those listeners who are joining us for the first time today. In our broadcast, we look at the sacred scripture and excerpts from the catechism, the lives of our saints, and the teaching of the church as we seek to challenge individuals, families, and local parishes to rebuild and renew the Catholic faith here in America. Now, several weeks ago, Leslie and I did a series on the spiritual gifts called charisms. We laid a foundation in the scripture and the catechism, and then over the few weeks, we had been focusing on the charism of intercession. Leslie, let's begin today by summarizing for our listeners what the Catechism of the Church teaches about our charisms.
Well, the Catechism is just full of really great information on this, and I've learned a lot, Peter, by reviewing the Catechism. Mm-hmm. And in paragraph 798, the Catechism teaches us that the Holy Spirit works in many ways to build up the body of Christ, by God's Word, by baptism, by the sacraments, by the grace of the apostles, by the virtues, and then finally, by the many special graces called charisms. And these make the faithful fit and ready to undertake various tasks and offices for the renewal and building up of the church. And that's what it says in the Catechism. Mm-hmm. But it goes on to say in paragraph 799, whether extraordinary or simple and humble, the charisms are graces of the Holy Spirit. So sometimes they can just be very simple charisms, right?
Mm-hmm. And done in the shadows, so to speak.
But they directly or indirectly benefit the church, ordered as they are, to building her up to the good of men and to the needs of the world. And our church always needs a building up and renewal. Goes on in paragraph 800 and tells us what our response should be, which has been the focus of our radio program. We're to accept these charisms with gratitude because they are a wonderfully rich grace for the vitality and the holiness of the entire body of Christ, provided they really are genuine gifts of the Holy Spirit.
I love that phrase, Leslie, apostolic vitality.
And lastly, the Catechism does provide some guidance on the discernment of the charisms, saying in paragraph 801 that discernment of the charisms is always necessary and should be referred and submitted to the church's shepherd in order to ensure that all the charisms work together for the common good.
Yes, Leslie. Now today, we want to again refer to 1 Corinthians 12, and there, 9 spiritual charisms are mentioned. Just as we learned about the charism of intercession, today we want to discuss another charism. That is the charism of healing. Let's start with an overview from the sacred scripture. In 1 Corinthians 12, verse 9, it says this charism is, and the Greek word, Leslie, is iamaton, which means healings in the plural. And that's interesting. And keep that in your mind because we're going to go back to that. The scripture then says the gifts plural of healings plural. So from the beginning, we can say there are various areas of the human person that God wants to bring healing to us in physically, mentally, emotionally, in our soul, and throughout our whole being.
So it's not just physical healing,
yeah,
right?
Yes, we're talking holistically today. Therefore, God heals us through a variety of ways that we learn. Number one, through God's word. Secondly, through the laying on of hands. Thirdly, through the sacrament called the anointing of the sick. Fourthly, through spiritual gifts, the charisms. We'll be talking more about that. And then fifthly, through medical interventions with doctors, medicine, surgery, things like that.
Well, Peter, as you have mentioned, there are five ways in which the Lord can heal us. And as we were preparing for our program today, we realized that over the years, we've experienced and seen the Lord heal us in our lives in those five ways, haven't
yes,
we?
Yes, and we'll talk about that in our last segment today.
Okay, so Peter, the question around healing revolves around God's will. Talk to us about that.
Yes, it can be controversial, Leslie, when you only do it one-dimensional, physical healing. And I think today bringing it out that it's holistic for the whole human person is going to be very helpful. So the question of healing revolves, first of all, around God's will. Let's take a look at sacred scripture where God's will is revealed. First of all, the nature of God. God has always been the healer, physician of his people, and that never changes. And there's a great scripture, Leslie, in Exodus 15, verse 26, where the Lord brought his people out of Egypt.
Right, and this scripture reveals his nature as a healer.
Yes, it says this, "If you listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight and give heed to his commandment and keep his statutes, I will not bring upon you any of the diseases that I brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you." Also, there's a verse in James 1:17 that speaks of every generous act of giving, every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variation nor shadow of change.
So that gift of healing comes down from him.
Yes, and it's of his nature. Secondly, in the Lord's ministry, in Jesus' ministry. First of all, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit were united in bringing healing to humanity. There's a great scripture in Acts 10:38 that shows how the Trinity is involved in healing God's people. It says, "How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth," there's the Father, "anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. And he went about doing good in healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him." That doesn't mean that all sickness, Leslie, is from the devil, but it's interesting here that it points out that Satan can oppress us with sickness and physical issues and problems. Secondly, Jesus Christ visibly revealed the will of God, didn't he? It says in John 6:38, "I have come down from heaven not only to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me."
So what that says to us is it is God's will to heal.
And then finally, in the atonement of Jesus Christ, we see that Isaiah tells us that on the cross, Jesus bore our sicknesses and diseases. It says this, "Surely he's borne our infirmities and carried our diseases. Yet we accounted him stricken, struck down by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the punishment that was made whole, and by his bruises we are healed."
So, Peter, at the beginning of our broadcast, we talked about how we have joined efforts with many other renewal movements in order to help us rebuild and renew the church. So talk to us a little bit about Encounter Ministries, because they have a huge focus on healing.
Yes, we're going to talk about Encounter Ministries when we come back, Leslie. It's time for us to take a break. And when we return, we will present this Catholic ministry that focuses on this charism of healing. So please stay with us.
You're listening to Go Rebuild My Church. This program is underwritten in part by Willie and Deborah Wood in memory of their parents, Woody and Joyce Wood, and Bill and Elsie Brooks. Catholic Radio Indy thanks the Wood family for their support.
This is Father Rick Nagel, pastor of St. John the Evangelist Catholic Church, downtown Indianapolis, and host of the Eucharistic Village, which will be during the National Eucharistic Congress. We'll be hosting pilgrims from all over the country for a respite site around the outside of our church and on Georgia Street. But the most important thing we're hosting is the Body, Blood, Soul, and Divinity, the Holy Eucharist for the Adoration Chapel inside the church during the days of the Congress. We hope you'll come join us and adore our Lord together.
Welcome back to our radio program, Go Rebuild My Church, and today we are discussing how the ministry of Jesus was very much involved in healing people from afflictions. His focus on healing continued on into the Acts of the Apostles and the first Christians. As Peter mentioned in the last segment, we want to offer a Catholic lens on healing that can be found in the work of Encounter Ministries, a lay apostolate within the Catholic Church. In particular, one of their key focuses in their curriculum is to equip Catholics to grow in their confidence, to confirm the proclamation of the gospel through healing, and to grow in faith to be used by God for healing. So Peter, could you share with us some of the biblical and theological background that Encounter Ministries brings to our understanding of healing today?
Yes, Leslie. First of all, when it comes to healing, we can say that before Jesus gave the Eucharist and even the Holy Spirit to his disciples, he called his disciples to preach the gospel and expected them to heal the sick. Jesus, as we can see, never proclaimed the gospel without demonstrating and confirming the message with accompanying demonstrations of power, and physical healing was usually the most frequent sign that Jesus brought to the people. Often when talking about healing, we encounter a lot of questions and reservations about functioning in these spiritual gifts. So let's discuss a series of questions that are frequently asked in this area of healing so that we can begin to understand how we as Catholic Christians can approach this area. And Leslie, again, we're highlighting insights that come to us through this Encounter Ministries that has been approved in the church and even by our local bishops.
Okay, well, you just said that Jesus expected signs of healing to follow the apostles wherever they preached, but are they really for today? Are they part of just an optional spirituality?
No. In Vatican II, first of all, we can reference, made specific references to the importance of functioning in our charisms. And they said that generically, all Catholic believers have charisms through their baptism. The council also taught that the church herself is both charismatic and hierarchical. And what we mean by charismatic generically, again, Leslie, is that all believers have received charisms through their baptism and confirmation. Since God gives each Christian charisms to help them work for the renewal and rebuilding of the church, they cannot be considered optional in the mission of the church. That is stated in Lumen Gentium, section 12. In 2016, the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith taught this: such gifts are not to be considered optional in the life of the church. Rather, from the acceptance of these charisms, including those which are more elementary, there arises for each believer the right and duty to use them in the church and in the world for the good of men and the building up of the church in the freedom of the Holy Spirit. It went on to say the authentic charisms, therefore, come to be considered as gifts of indispensable importance. That's a pretty powerful statement there, Leslie. Indispensable importance for the life and the mission of the church. And finally, charisms are tools of love that God gives so that we can complete our mission on earth. They finally said charisms are not optional because love is not optional. In a very real sense, every Christian, by their baptism, receives these charisms.
Okay, well, those charisms include healing for sure.
Yes.
Well, one of the ways God heals us is through the laying on of hands. At least that's what it says in the scripture. Are lay people permitted, Peter, to lay hands on in a prayer ministry or when they're praying for healing?
I think that's a good question that we don't think of often, Leslie. The gesture of laying on of hands is not limited to a bishop ordaining a priest or a priest when anointing someone with the sacrament of the anointing of the sick. Scripture itself teaches that one of the signs that follow disciples of Jesus is that they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. That's in Mark chapter 16, verse 18. While touching someone is not at all a requirement for any prayer ministry, we've found that when used prudently with the permission of the person that's being prayed for, God can communicate graces into people's lives through the humble and loving gesture of the laying on of hands.
And of course, Peter, laying on of hands during prayer is something that we've always done over the years. And this is clearly what Jesus stated in Mark 16 that we're supposed to do as his disciples. As we mentioned, though, we always ask for permission before we do lay on hands.
Yes.
Okay, well, so some may think it's wrong to seek signs such as healing. Does Jesus really reject performing signs and wonders?
I think that comes from a portion of scripture that I want to mention, Leslie. First of all, in Matthew 16:4, Jesus said, "An evil and an unfaithful generation seeks a sign, but no sign will be given except the sign of Jonah." Now, many Christians have taken this to be a rejection of the role of signs, wonders, and healings in the church.
Right, that it's evil to seek for a sign.
Right. Such an interpretation is deeply erroneous. And with the full context of this passage, I think we'll see that. A reading of the passage shows before Jesus made this statement, he had just performed incredible signs, wonders, and healings. Listen to the scripture in Matthew 15. "Great crowds came to him, having with them the lame, the blind, the deformed, the mute, and many others. They placed them at his feet, and he cured them. The crowds were amazed when they saw the mute speaking, the deformed made whole, the lame walking, and the blind able to see, and they glorified the God of Israel." Amazing. Right after these signs, wonders, and healings, Jesus multiplied bread to feed the 4,000. That came right after that. Now, after all of these miracles, Leslie, it says in Matthew 16, the Pharisees and the Sadducees came to test him, to ask him to show them a sign from heaven.
Right, they were testing him.
Jesus' response to them is to call the Pharisees and the Sadducees an evil and unfaithful generation. Although they had witnessed him perform the preceding signs and wonders, their request for a sign now was from the intention to test the Lord. Jesus was not rejecting signs, wonders, and healings. Rather, he was rejecting the Pharisees and the Sadducees testing him at that point.
Well, hopefully this is getting everybody excited about healing and wanting to grow in either praying for those who need healing or seek the Lord if you have a charism of healing. So, Peter, if people are excited about this, what Catholic resources does Encounter recommend for learning more about the charisms of the Holy Spirit? I know they have an abundance of resources.
Yes, let me mention a few, Leslie, as we end this second segment. First of all, a book called Spiritual Gifts Handbook by Dr. Mary Healy and Dr. Randy Clark. Also, Lord, Renew Your Wonders by Damian Stain. Thirdly, Biblical Foundations for the Role of Healing in Evangelization by Father Matthias Thelen, who also is one of the co-founders of the Encounter Ministries. Next, and these two are by a cardinal, Leslie, Sober Intoxication of the Spirit, Part 1 and 2, by Cardinal Catalamessa, and also Come Creator Spirit by the Cardinal as well. And then finally, Ordinary Christians, Extraordinary Signs by Steve Dawson. You can find this information if you go to the Encounter website at www.encounterministries.us.
Okay, we're going to take another break now. And when we return, Peter and I, as we look back on our journey, have experienced some really powerful times of healing. And we want to share some of those stories with you. So please stay with us.
You're listening to Go Rebuild My Church. This program is underwritten in part by Willie and Deborah Wood in memory of their parents, Woody and Joyce Wood, and Bill and Elsie Brooks. Catholic Radio Indy thanks the Wood family for their support.
Here at Catholic Radio Indy, we go out of our way to bring you local Catholic programs that you won't hear anywhere else. Programs such as Faith in Action, Sons of Melchizedek, The Catholic Cave, Catholic Jukebox, and others. But we also like to keep you up to date on what is going on at local parishes. If there's something going on at your parish, leave us a note at catholicradioindy.org or call us at 317-870-8400.
You're listening to the radio program Go Rebuild My Church. And welcome back. Today we're discussing the healing ministry in the church and how this is both a charism that's given to some, but like intercession, it's a ministry in which all of us can and should participate. Well, we mentioned that the Lord is a healer and he heals in five ways. Peter, why don't you kind of go back over those five important ways the Lord sends his healing power, because it's really good.
Yes, and it's healings plural, Leslie. And first of all, we mentioned he heals through his word, God's word. Secondly, through the laying on of hands. Thirdly, through the anointing of the sick, the blessed sacrament that we have to heal. Fourthly, spiritual gifts, the charisms. And finally, medical intervention, doctors, medicine, and surgery.
So the big question, Peter, is does God heal today? So talk to us about that.
So, Leslie, you and I have had some experience over our long journey together, and I think it'd be good for us to tell some stories of how we've seen healing in these five areas. First of all, healing through God's word. Now, when the Lord came to me, Leslie, as a junior in college, I was unhealthy spiritually. I needed healing, and I needed healing in my soul. So how did this healing take place? I began to read God's word after the Lord had met me. In fact, I immersed myself in the word several hours a day in sacred scripture. And as that happened, and as I was sharing in the Lord's word, the Lord began to heal me in my thought life, in my past rejections, past sins and the results of those sins, physical addictions, and also healing in relationships, my parents and my siblings and my extended family. This all took place as I was washed by the water and the word that it speaks of in Ephesians 5:26.
Okay, Peter. Well, the second way that God heals us is through the laying on of hands. And I'm going to share my story about this. I think I've shared previously on this broadcast that we had a lot of difficulties when we were trying to have a family. I was born with a congenital birth defect that made it very difficult to have a normal pregnancy. We actually lost our first daughter. She only lived for 2 days. She was born prematurely and died of upper respiratory distress syndrome. We also had, our second child was also premature. But he did well, our son, he survived. But over the next 4 years, we encountered several difficulties. I suffered a miscarriage and then an ectopic tubal pregnancy. You can imagine we were devastated. We just were wanting to have more children, and it just wasn't happening. Well, we happened to have a pastor friend. He was visiting in our home, and he offered to pray for me with the laying on of hands. And I still remember that prayer to this day. It was a very simple prayer. He just prayed that I would relax and rest in God. And immediately that month, after this pastor friend left, that month I found out I was pregnant.
After 5 years of hoping.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great testimony. Okay, the next area that we've talked about, Leslie, is the sacrament of the anointing of the sick. Now, when I led the RCIA ministry for 7 years, I would always say that this was the most underutilized of the second sacraments. Let me tell you the story of Kelsey. She was pregnant with her first child, and while in labor, she spent a lot of time laying in bed. After delivering her baby, it was disclosed that she had blood clots in her leg.
And it was very serious.
Yes. She came home with a baby and was put on intense blood thinners, but her mom had to stay in the home the whole time to take care of the new baby because Kelsey couldn't move. This went on for over a month with no breakthroughs. I had been encouraging Kelsey's father to suggest to her to receive the anointing of the sick. We had a small group leaders meeting one evening, and Kelsey, who was a small group leader in the parish, ended up attending that night. After the meeting, I asked her if her father had mentioned the anointing of the sick to her. She said he had, and that she wanted to go ahead and receive that sacrament. As we went out the door of that meeting that night, there in the hallway was our pastor. Kelsey asked and received the anointing of the sick. And shortly after that, she was amazingly healed. No more blood clots.
Okay, I love that story. And I was there. It was really wonderful.
Yes.
Okay, well, I'm going to talk now about the spiritual gift, which is the charism of healing. And this one can be a little bit, or not a little bit, but a lot supernatural. So please be prepared for that. Well, when our third son was born, his legs were twisted from the position that he had been laying while he was in the womb. And at his doctor's visit, we were told that he had an internal tibial torsion, which is an inward twisting of the tibia of the leg. Subsequently, he was fitted with a special brace to correct the twisting, which he had to wear all the time. It was very uncomfortable, these heavy shoes with a bar between them. And the doctor told us that if it wasn't corrected, it may require surgery. Well, Peter and I happened to attend a large conference. It was attended by about 3,000 people, where one of the nationally known speakers had a gift or a charism of healing. Well, at the very end of the conference, people were getting ready to be dismissed, and the leader, this national leader who had the gift of healing, said in front of these 3,000 people, "Wait a minute, there's somebody here who has a child that has a problem with their legs. The child is here." And then he paused and said, "No, the child is not." So we did not have our baby son with us.
And Leslie, when he said that, I can see it like yesterday. It's like a wave just hit us because we felt that was for us.
We knew that was for us.
And for our baby.
And he said, "The Lord is healing his legs." Well, we just accepted it in faith. But then after that conference, we went home, and at his next doctor's visit, surprisingly, the doctor said, "Well, his legs have straightened out just fine, and he no longer needs these braces."
Yeah, that was an amazing
healing. Pretty supernatural.
Now, Leslie, we've got one more healing testimony that we want to give, but we'll give that in our introduction next week as we complete what we want to say about healing in our next
right,
broadcast.
We're going to talk about medical intervention and
yes.
how God uses doctors as well.
Yeah, so let's take a moment and pray today that God would help all of us to function in our charisms, and especially if we need healing, to reach out to that. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gifts that you have given your people to build up the body of Christ. Lord, many of us need healing in all these different areas that we've talked about, emotionally, spiritually, intellectually, in our soul, and also in our body. We pray, O Lord, that you would give us opportunity to be prayed for if we need healing, and to pray for others around us that need healing as well. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you, listeners, once again for joining us today as we seek to connect you as individuals, your families, and parishes to the rebuilding and renewal of the Catholic faith here in America. And make sure to become a regular listener of Catholic Radio Indy. Goodbye for now, and
keep the faith.
You've been listening to Go Rebuild My Church with Peter Doan. Podcasts of this program are available at www.catholicradioindy.org.